DavidRanicky.com, great website. I love talking to the man, though, because he gives me more than what you find online or in the paper. David, hello.
Thanks for the good weather from your end there.
Yeah, no problem. It's swimming weather, mate. You on your man shake, I'm sure you'd be in the budgie smugglers now, would you?
Yeah, sure am. I've lost about 7 kilos, so not doing too bad.
So lovely wife is appreciative of you running around with nothing on now. Good.
She's the one who controls it. I can't get into the noodles at all.
And also, you've laid back on the grog, or do you still have one a day?
No. Cordial now.
Good boy. I like that. Tell us about this commercial rocket blasting off from Australian soil. This is the start of something huge for this country.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a lot of people don't realise that, we've finally got our legs now. This is the Coonabba Rocket Range in South Australia, working in consultation with the local Aboriginal people, and that's important because we saw what happened with Cape York up there. That was ready to go in Queensland until the problems turned up with the Indigenous population. But this is a little bit different. It's the defence payload that was launched from there, about 3.5-metre rocket. Not big, a little rocket called Long Dart, carrying stuff for the Royal Australian Air Force. Got up to about a height of 100K. We think it may be defence-orientated, could be a satellite of some sort. Doesn't really matter what it is, but it is a start. It shows you that we're now using our launch facilities that we used to have, or our capabilities that we used to have, i.e. Woomera, and we're finally getting into the space business. Now, it won't be too long before this accelerates, and you'll see private enterprise coming more and more into it, and also money coming back to our country and employing our own people. But more than that, South Australia is probably the best place in the Southern Hemisphere to launch from, mainly because there's no one around out back there near Woomera and places like that. And that's why they've chosen this, testing out rockets, our capabilities, and getting our feet, if you will. These are little baby steps. And like you said, this is going to develop into hopefully a big industry for us.
I can't wait for that. More at DavidRanicky.com, by the way, if you want to look at it. Now, I'm not sure if this is funny or this is cool, but NASA astronauts are going to film, a TV commercial or something in space, to promote more people joining NASA as a career, is it?
Yeah, this is true. I couldn't believe it when I read it either. NASA have always been anti-commercial because essentially it's a government-run organisation. But obviously things are tight. The purse strings need to be tightened a little bit, and they have. They need to boost their income to run the space station. What they've done now is give the okay for a cosmetics company, Estee Lauder, to promote a range of new essences that they've got. So they're sending 10 bottles up to the space station. And what they intend to do there is to have the astronauts video the bottles up floating around up there, I think, in free fall. Whatever they do, I don't know what they intend to do, but it's going to be a promotional video for an ad. The only thing is that you won't have the astronauts involved with it. Oh. It's been a long-running rule for quite a while. In fact, since the inception of the space program, NASA barred their astronauts from appearing in any marketing campaign. So they can't go out there and make any money from what they're doing because they are essentially, again, government employees and they get a wage.
So we just see a figure in a spacesuit, no discerning features behind the helmet.
You won't see anyone. I don't think it'll be just the product itself.
Ah, okay. Estee Lauder. Space, right.
Yeah, and probably filmed outside the space station. Even, when it goes way back to the early program, the Apollo program, Neil Armstrong had so many offers to advertise. He did one for a car company. I don't know what that was all about, but I don't think it was when he was part of the NASA group. He did leave in 1972. But essentially, this is a start. This is something that you're going to see more of. More other companies coming into it, putting their money into NASA, and in return, letting them do space-type advertising. Yeah. I don't know what the attraction is. I can't figure it out for the money being outlaid here. But obviously, whatever they're doing, you can't simulate it here. There's no way you can simulate bottles floating around in front of your eyes unless you use CGI or something, watch out for it.
I've got a thought, David, is that the interest in space would certainly be stemming from the Tom Cruise movie that's supposedly going to be filmed there. on the space station. And also, you're talking about a new space reality TV show. I mean, I really shouldn't be surprised this has come about, but I'm surprised they've waited so long to do this.
Yeah, money from the private sector and private individuals coming more and more into the space program. NASA is fast becoming a group that no longer resembles what we have when it started. They're involved with Elon Musk in a big way. They're involved with Boeing now, with Future Concepts. Jeff Bezos, the co-founder of Amazon, also on a launch from their facilities up at the space station. And, yeah, it's good to see that. I think it's the future of NASA, but this TV show is a warrior. I don't know how you feel about reality TV shows. We've seen them come and go. And
fills in time, David. It fills in time.
A lot of big flops, yeah. That Mars One was one instance where they were going to send one person to Mars or a group there to stay, I think, for the rest of their life. Stupid idea. This is a new one. This is a program you may see come up called Space Hero. Now, the entire series is going to be a search for one winner out of whatever they do to get that winner, and they're going to receive astronaut training for a week, and then they're going to be sent up to the space station. 10 days in orbit on the space station for the winner. How they get this is yet to be determined. They don't have a home yet. They're looking for a network to be affiliated with,
yeah.
And they intend to start the application process about this time next year.
I think this will take off, pardon the pun, but a lot of people will have an interest in this because of Mars and, you know, as I mentioned before, the Tom Hanks movie. So I don't know.
Well, there is an app that you can download, or will soon, to apply for it. They begin broadcasting in late 2021, they say, and the winner, if they do get one and it does come off, Bilko, will be launched, they say, early in 2023.
And look, the first winner will actually get a lot of publicity and probably be able to do a book deal and get a movie deal, so it could be quite lucrative to actually get involved.
Well, if it works, it's going to go well. If it's done properly and done tastefully, I think it'll be good. And the word is that the people who will launch this winner will be, of course, you guess who? Have a guess. Elon Musk?
Yeah, of course.
SpaceX, he's got the credentials, he's got the safety record.
And they might
and
even
he's
use...
He's only too willing to jump in on something like this. So.
Might even use the talent to recruit more personnel.
Pardon? Sorry?
But you might even use the show to recruit more personnel. I mean, here's a way to audition future astronauts or space workers, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it all gives him all the extra publicity that he needs. He's not shy on getting that, and that draws investors. Of course, but gee, we're seeing a change in space now, aren't we?
Yeah.
And don't forget, space mining is hot on the heels of a lot of people too. China have indicated they want to do that. They want to actually send a bot up there, a mining bot, to search in the asteroid belt for candidate asteroids that they can mine.
Have a look at that.
And man. I wouldn't mind betting that's what they're doing on the other side of the moon.
Yeah, davidrenicki.com has more on that story. It's quite good. Now, we love a good space movie, and I haven't seen a really good space movie since, you know, the Mars one and the Hidden Figures one. Now, this is one not about humans in space, but puppy dogs. What's this about?
Yeah, all about the dogs in space. It sounds funny, I know, but it's a real thing. This is a story that started with a dog called Laika. The first animal in space, or the first dog in space. Picked up in Moscow from the streets in Moscow and went up in November 1957. This is a story of space flight from its very beginning, where we used dogs and tested them out to see if they could take acceleration and being, you know, they could still survive in zero G. We found that the Russians, or we know that the Russians used dogs almost exclusively. In America, of course, it was monkeys and chimpanzees and other things like that. So this is a story that's going to start with Laika. It's the movie about how it survived or was launched into space. It didn't really survive, but it's an interesting story. Just reading some notes while I'm reading it to you. There isn't much on that. It's just the story of the early space program and the animals that were sacrificed, you know, to get us where we are.
Yeah. Do we ever send monkeys into space, or did anyone send monkeys, or was it just...
Oh, sure, yeah the right. Americans spent quite... Yeah, little Ham and Abel and Baker, good stories involved with those. And there's a real cool photograph of one of the little monkeys there with his spacesuit on. in the early years. Yeah, they were used extensively.
Right.
A lot of people said, you know, come in, they criticised that. Well, there wasn't really any other option. We couldn't send a human being up there and just kill them for the sake of, you know, to test something out. But animals have always been used in some way, shape or form. And I point to the cosmetics industry as an example of that, you know. The use of animals to test things like that over the years.
Yeah. I mean, people think it's cruel, but I think to you know, gain progress for humanity, you've sometimes got to go down that track. I think it would change now. I think there'd be a lot of protests if we were using animals in space, but, you know.
Well, yeah, when you look back on it, this, the dog Laika, the Russians have always said that the dog was euthanized. See, that burned up on a re-entry. The dog was never meant to come back.
Yeah.
It was a little female dog picked up from the streets of Russia, and the reason they did that was they realised that a dog that had to forage for its food and forage for a living and survive out there on its own there must be pretty tough.
Okay.
And that's what they wanted. But the dog apparently, years later, when the Soviet space program fell apart and the moon race had been won, the American scientists from NASA and their counterparts in Russia got together and collaborated a little bit more, and it came out in the story there that the dog actually died a terrible death. It was suffocating. There was no cooling in there. The heat would have been extreme. And it would have, if it didn't die from that in the first few hours, it would have certainly been incinerated on the re-entry. Mm,
terrible way
to
go.
That vehicle just burned up, yeah.
Yeah. One final thing, David. We love Hubble, and apparently Earth is not the planet that has the largest ocean in our solar system. Can you explain that?
No, here we go with another, you know, interesting photograph from the Hubble Space Telescope revealing, yep, an underground saltwater ocean on Ganymede, one of the biggest moons in the solar system. And it belongs to Jupiter, bigger than Mercury, a little bit smaller than Mars. So Ganymede is an interesting place. It's got an ocean. We think it may be water. We're hoping it is. It may be like Europa as well, which has got an ice shelf above it. So they're now working towards a future flight there, a program called Icy Moon Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
So this world, Ganymede, has got geysers. We can see geysers or geysers shooting up. And we think there's a subsurface ocean there. If there is, there's probably six times more water in the ocean than we've got here on Earth's oceans. And that's three times more than Europa. So Ganymede is shaping up to be the go-to place in the future. Let's hope we can get there and get a mission mounted there in time to do it.
Yeah, it'd be nice. More at davidrenicki.com. Of course, we'll chat again next week, David. Thank you so much again.
Talk to you soon, Bilker.